together isn't any good.
Hug enough anymore, so so you can get a three-way hug kind of going.
No,
nope.
No, all right. I won't rip it.
You know what's great? Our fans.
Yes, you are great.
Yes, you learn things like what repo men actually do. Yeah. The lads were saying that they would come in the middle of the night because they don't want any confrontation with whoever didn't pay their bill. Because they'd have shotguns and send them scurrying.
Because America.
America.
89 guns per 100 people, that's...
89?
Who's going around there with thousands of guns? There's toddlers and old people.
No, 89... yeah, obviously some people have shitloads of guns. It's also a lower percentage than Australia.
Something wrong.
Yes!
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling podcast. Filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique the Hulkamania era pay-per-view by pay-per-view. Joined as ever by more kayfabe than Arn Anderson, OOC.
Yeah.
And more colour than Ric Flair, V1.
Alright.
It's your host, the bigger Mark than Bret Hart, Jay Hunter. It's the 1992 Royal Rumble and it's coming up right now.
Afternoon is going to be at my funeral parlor. 29 hearses have already been prepared. 29 bodies, 29 caskets.
And standing atop this mass carnage will be the Undertaker, crowned once more World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Champion.
Mirror, mirror on the wall! Today we find out who's the fairest of them all! We're at the Royal Rumble, and 30 of the greatest World Wrestling Federation superstars gather today to find out who is the man. For 4 months, I've called myself the real world champion. So for me, there's no back door. But remember, boys, and that's to all 29 of you, I've lived one way, and one way only, and that's with the belief to be the man, you have to beat the man. And today, at the Royal Rumble, I am the man. Woo!
It's time to rumble! It's time for the Royal Rumble!
We are back. Happy days, they're here again. Just eat 1,000 pies. Awesome. Episode 27, Royal Rumble 92. Man, great to have you back, OOC.
Thank you very much. Great to have you back.
Missed you on the last show.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Where was I? Did you do a show when
we did a bonus show on the...
Oh, did you?
Marine.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
The Marine 3.
Oh, great. Looking forward to that.
shouldn't.
That was shite.
Yeah, you did the right thing by not inviting me, because I don't watch it.
I'm just being in a bad mood anyway.
Yeah, our first episode in high definition. We kick off the pay-per-view with classic Vince killing his vocal cords, issuing spoilers for participants of tonight's Royal Rumble. I fucking love the classic Jim Johnson synth rumble song.
We got Mean Gene.
Mean Gene.
Mean
as well.
Gene.
Yeah, running down the rumble.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Nasty Boy Sang,
Repo Man, Sergeant Slaughter, Alleged Real World Champion Ric Flair.
One name more important than them all, though. Hercules is back, boys.
Yeah. I did see a good comment by one of our great fans that said Hercules wasn't on the No Holds Barred pay-per-view. So, technically, it was a break in the streak.
Yep. Fuck you, you got us. Banned. It's January 19th, 1992, from the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York, now known as the Times Union Center. A bit boring there, isn't it? Mm. With a sellout 17,000 in attendance, paying an average of $12.35 to get in, and 260,000 televisions tuned in at home, which is actually 180,000 less than last year's.
Oh god, that's a terrible feral drop.
Question. I haven't heard it before or since, but what was the deal with those noise rackets? It was like straight off the bat and the entire pay-per-view.
What noise?
This is contrived, but you're gonna like it anyway. It's like someone got a glass and a pencil and did...
Oh, it was a, it was a cowbell.
There goes the buzzer!
No!
Oh yes! Damn it! It's Ric Flair!
It must be that Portsmouth fan who's always ringing the bell. About four people in the world will get that.
Play-by-play commentary is by Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan on colour, and the lads run down the card. Heenan predicts Flair will win the Rumble and the belt, and heel predictions never pan out, so we'll see. So let's get busy. Bong! Racist gong added to the chopsticks theme as it's time for our opening contest. It's the Orient Express 2.0, masked Paul Diamond, aka Kato, and Pat Tanaka with Mr. Fuji versus Jim the Anvil Neidhart and the Rocket Owen Hart, the new foundation.
Love it.
Their tag shtick is a gimpy version of the Outsiders pointing towards each other. Did you see that?
I also saw their blinding 90s colour scheme as well.
It's very much like Ricky Gervais in Extras as the Genie.
Yeah,
it was green motocross checkers and purple Aladdin pants.
I don't think there's any bar that can do this. I have it here. Maybe some kind of Sunny D multi-pack going on.
Yeah, very Cafe 80s futuristic look on them. Mm. Heenan quips, you'd have to be half nuts to hang around with Anvil, and Monsoon retorts with,
will you be serious? What do you think of this team? Anvil's obviously at a loose end. Owen's just come back. Why not put them together? Brilliant.
I think for Anvil, this is just like a payday, because he's never going to be a big star or a big name. But for Owen, this is fantastic, because he's too bland to be a single star. And this will help him get better and get over. And he's always got Anvil to fall back on. So, yeah, great.
After the Hart Foundation split, Neidhart did some colour commentary, but has returned to help out Owen. So he's not in fighting shape, getting windy, and has a bit of a gut on him.
Owen returning, do you have anything on...
WrestleMania 5?
Since he's been gone since WrestleMania 5?
Yeah, he only had that one stint as Blue Blazer versus Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect, right, yeah.
I assume he was up in Stampede and...
Yep.
Now he's back?
Mm-hmm.
You don't got nothing on him?
He's back. We start off with The Rocket and Kato. Diamond's body looks a lot older and less roidier, because he was ripped to the gills last time. I was like, oh,
It's also 92, so steroid stuff coming in. So.
Kato looks no better, keeping his shirt on this time. OSC's favourite. Clad in his baggy sweats, it looks like he just got off the couch. A Japanese hobo.
Yeah.
A jobo. Have you got it? Yes!
Nice.
They look like enhancement talent. They didn't beat the Rockers last year's Rumble. What's the bets they job looking like that?
Pretty high.
Yes. Finally, the Japs turn the tide with a well-placed kick to Owen's head. Rocket looks for payback, but Fuji gives him a stiff jab in the neck with his cane. The heels work over Rocket, highlighted by a lovely exploding forearm by Pat. This feels like the road agent booked the match as a trial by fire for Owen, as he both goes on the offensive and sells for the extreme majority of the match.
Yeah, the opening exchange is fantastic. Owen was phenomenal. And then he just gets cut off in the corner. The Orient Express just beating him down, rest hold, waiting ages for a hot tag, and then it wasn't even that hot.
It's because he's tagging in Anvil.
Yeah.
Yep. Monsoon throws out some puns, which gets sandbagged. The Orient Express are tough to derail. It's okay, as Heenan later quips the Orient Express is non-stop, which Monsoon sandbags.
Oh,
Owen makes the hot tag to Anvil, but the evil foreigners distract the ref, missing the tag. Fuji hangs his cane on the top rope, and the Express throw Rocket's shoulder into it. Nice spot. Mm-hmm. This match is a tale of two halves, I thought. First half, the faces absolutely steamroll the heels, finally putting the focus on Owen, and Owen builds towards the hot tag. Either he gets cut off, or the heels distract the ref, and he only gets the visionary tag. The heels focus on Owen's arm. Why is that?
Same issue as Skinner and Brett last pay-per-view. Mm. Yeah, why are you working the arm? Have you got some submission move?
Because he's a high flyer. You want to ground him.
No more handstands for you. Huh?
Then again, though, in like the opening minute, Owen did about 200 arm drags. And maybe they were like, Jesus, we don't want any more of them.
Oh, I didn't fucking like that arm at all.
Drags. Getting a bit dizzy and all. Owen hits a lovely belly-to-belly suplex just before he tags in. A lovely bimmy to Jimmy.
Finally, Owen hits a double single-leg dropkick and makes the big tag to Anvil. Owen slingshots him into the ring and cleans house with less than stellar speed. Following awkwardly shoulder-tackling Kato to the outside, Anvil whips Owen out after him, bowling over Kato with a suicide dive. Slamming Tanaka, Anvil rocket launches Owen from the top turnbuckle, splashing onto Pat 4-3 and a successful pay-per-view debut. If this was a test to see if Owen can go, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he looked great.
Yeah.
Just change your damn pants.
No, I like the pants.
The,
I love the team. I love the high flyer kind of powerhouse combination. They work quite well together. I expect big things.
I thought it was a very entertaining match. I thought the opening 5 minutes was excellent. I thought Owen looked fantastic. I thought the middle section was boring. Like, not bad, but it went for too long. Decent finish, but I hate the rocket launcher. It's a terrible name and the state of it.
Is it because Anvil does nothing in reality
he
to help him?
Pushes his arse a bit. That's it. With a nice squeeze. A bit of Luke.
Monsoon throws to a pre-tape in a broom closet with Lord Al Hayes. Without any semblance of charisma, he recounts the IC title scandal from the house show Friday night, just 2 days ago. Kayfabe-wise, Brett lost because he had a fever of 104 Fahrenheit, that's 40 Celsius, wrestling the Mountie anyway and lost, as the Rougeau belaboured Hart with brutal kicks, and Hot Rod arrived to ward him off. The footage they show is from a house show. It's like the darkest dark match you've ever seen. It's like watching Ring of Honor. A single camera, handheld, looked like shit.
So, yeah, Piper interferes in the match, as you'd expect him to do. I mean, he's Brett's mate. And then he gets a title shot. So, word to the wise, interfere in matches.
Where's Trent Barretta? Triple H, Taker, Barretta.
Oh, God.
They never make the connection that Stu Hart, Brett's dad, had trained Piper, unfortunately.
Is he the worst technical wrestler ever to come out of the Hart Dungeon?
Bad news, Brett.
He was not trained by the Harts, was he?
Well, he wrestled up there, yeah, Stampede. Fuck. Yes.
Okay.
No. Another off-screen title change, usually reserved for the tag belts. This time it afflicts the IC belt. How about that?
So is there something going on with Brett? I mean, he could have done this at the Rumble.
It was to have a big moment at the Royal Rumble. There's some ska, but it's bollocks, so no. Hayes throws to Mooney, who's standing by with the new Intercontinental Champion. It's the Mountie and his manager, the Myth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Mooney, and later the commentators, relentlessly bring up how Brett wrestled against Doctor's wishes. But how come Macho wasn't allowed to wrestle until this Tuesday in Texas? Couldn't he say, yeah, Grand, I'll just wrestle against Doctor's wishes?
Yeah.
Inquiry. Fucking Jack Tunney, he needs to go, buddy.
This is what happens when you don't have a set of rules that deal with wrestlers who are sick. Let's just book it for different rule for each wrestler.
But fucking Tunney, this is all he does, is the rules. He's not there, you know, selling hot dogs or meat out of a van outside, like. Bullshit. Unless Macho was just scared of Jake Roberts.
Yeah, that's about all you can say, really. Mm-hmm.
Mount says Brett's sick from losing, and Mounty says he should have won by forfeit and works his way towards his catchphrase. Piper responds by basically calling both lads gays.
This promo was fucking terrible. He didn't say anything.
Yeah, it's Piper.
It's a couple of gay slurs, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Piper says that Jimmy Hart wears lipstick and Mounty wants to bum him. And the Cosmic Ballet goes on.
I come here to win two titles. I can't do that till I win the first one. I think you've been dreaming.
I think it's been all wet, too.
Oh, on that note, let's get back to ringside.
The following contest, scheduled for one fall, is for the Intercontinental Championship. It's the Mountie with Jimmy Hart, who comes out first, boo, versus Rowdy Roddy Piper. So this is Piper's first singles pay-per-view match since fighting Bad News Brown at WrestleMania 6. Remember the finish?
Double count out?
Brawl to the back. The commentators constantly reiterate that Piper is the first guy in history to go for two titles in two matches in one night.
Yeah, if Piper does win the IC title, it adds an extra element to the kind of subplot to the Rumble. Very good.
I actually thought it was one of the best single plot lines for a show they've done in ages, so it was really cool. Did you see the sideburns on the Mountie? My goodness, shave them sideburns. They are incredible.
Mounty looks like he's trimmed down from when we saw him at Survivor Series. Piper starts off hot, trouncing Mounty inside and out of the ring. Monsoon starts accusing Jimmy Hart of costing Hart the title and antagonising Piper with the megaphone. Fuck off. Jacques has an interesting modified chicken wing, using it to ram Piper's head into the turnbuckle.
Pretty good.
Roddy hits an atomic drop, to which Mounty stops and jumps over the rope himself. And Mounty skins the cat back in for some reason. It's not the Rumble. Mounty nails Hart by mistake, and Piper slaps on the sleeper hold. Before Rougeau's arm goes limp, the ref delivers the quickest three hand drops in history, and Piper wins the Intercontinental Championship for his first and only time at 5:18. No theme plays until after Piper zaps Mounty with his cattle prod, and we get the kind of incorrect answer buzzer sound.
Yeah. The D-Lo buzzer. Let's just call it that, because everything's D-Lo's fault.
Man, a great moment, felt huge for Piper and the crowd.
Yeah, I wouldn't be his biggest fan, but he's a huge star, and he deserved to have a title at some point. I thought the match was actually a lot of fun. It would have probably been a bit shit if it had gone on, say, 5 minutes longer, but I just thought it was the right length, and happy enough.
I didn't really enjoy this match. Piper just made Mounty look like a gobshite for far too long, and he submitted him too easily.
Yeah, is this the only way you'll get a clean finish out of Piper? If he wins a belt.
If he beats you.
This is a fucking squash match. 5 minutes? Fast-paced, back and forth, no real story to the match, except that Piper looked really, really strong in this, and the Mountie is not a worthy Intercontinental Champion. Mm. Basically stealing the belt and relinquishing it back at the earliest convenience. A2, Mark Calloway. Not. You might hear that the reason Brett lost his belt 2 days prior was because he agreed to a verbal contract with WCW earlier that week. But the title switch was booked well before that, like early December. Incidentally, that is true. WCW offered him $300,000, but he never signed, and his contract didn't expire when WCW thought it did. So if we were to jump ship to WCW at the moment, WCW even promoted a big surprise at the upcoming Clash of the Champions 2 days after the Rumble.
They thought they had him signed?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And the big surprise that night was the WCW debut of...
Al Snow.
Crocodile Dundalk. Jesse Ventura on commentary.
Oh, God. He was terrible in WCW, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Just giving out with fucking Shavante.
He's like Jerry Lawler, just don't give a shit. Show up, do your job, get paid, go home. Go to the mall. Hang out for a few.
Okay, well then explain to me then why he dropped the belt. Is it just to give Piper a run with the IC title then?
The real reason Piper won the IC belt so sharpish is twofold. Mostly because of his WrestleMania match, which no spoilers, but to also give his house show feud with Ric Flair, which wasn't drawing well, a boost. Piper was working with Flair on the house shows that Hogan didn't work, and the top brass felt that the IC title would give Piper some short-term credibility and help the Flair-Piper matches to draw better.
Okay.
This doesn't bode well for Flair. Like, his house shows with both Hogan and Piper aren't selling well.
But like, having WWF fans for their entire life been basically trained to think anyone from the NWA is shite, that if you're not in our company then you're not the real deal type of thing, so
yeah, very us versus them mentality. So as opposed to we stole a star, it's like, who's this fuckhead, you know?
Yeah.
When do we get to that fuckhead? Oh, next
fucking
match.
Fucking next.
Okay, let's motorboat through this. Backstage. Backstage, Al Hayes is outside the locker room of Hulk Hogan, denoted by a much nicer printout of his name. Al enters as Hogan was just standing there staring at a sink. How long has he been standing there?
I was drunk, yeah. I mean, I woke up this morning asleep on the sink, just like this. Been asleep for 8 hours, like that. Got up, walked downstairs, straight downstairs, had breakfast, didn't even wash my hands, because I'm a bloody bloke.
Hey. Hogan's in a bubbly, light-hearted mood. He says
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. He says he won't be sipping tea, and he's glad Al paid him a visit.
Really odd. He's just like off a coke high or a pre-coke high.
I thought he sounded just like the biggest, fakest douchebag you would ever hear. He just didn't sound sincere at all.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about tea.
You know, this is my cup of tea and you know a lot about tea, my friend.
Yeah, he's banging on about tea all the time. Yeah. Even his promos before the Rumble.
Yeah, he loves a bit of that. The pinky and the...
Chaka bra.
Monsoon throws to Mean Gene, who's with the Bushwhackers, who's with some dickweed, Jameson.
Agreed.
A greasy, nerdy New York Jew stereotype who chews on his tie. Fuck is this shit. The Kiwis say they'll beat the Beverly Sisters original, and Jameson will thrash the Genius. Who's this lad?
Damn.
Why are you here?
Fucking punt. I hated him. The second he opened his mouth, I want a lightning rig to fall on you right now.
Jameson!
Yeah, that's me. Just give me 1 minute alone with that genius. I'm going to thrash him.
Whoa, you got him, Jameson.
Do you have Mr. Blackwell's telephone number?
Oh?
Maybe he's got yours. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what's the deal with him? Like, I should get my glasses, they're all steamed up.
That's a good impression.
That was a very good impression.
I don't know if I appreciate
it. It makes me want to punch you.
You got some background in this guy?
I do. Jameson is a New York comedian, John D. Giacomo, whom Vince discovered in a comedy club and brought him in. So much like Mo from Men on a Mission, who was seen doing a rap by the creative team on a night out and said, well, give him a job.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't atrocious.
He was okay.
Yeah,
he's like the face version of Harvey Whippleman, like some Woody Allen parody.
That's who I thought it was for like the first few seconds. And then I heard them call him James and I was like, okay, he's just some different fanny. Like,
Yes, Jameson. His gimmick is that he's a skinflint super nerd. That's a huge mark for all the baby faces.
Yeah, that's good. That looks good on me. Ooh, Sherry's gonna love me now. If I was a rich man.
Is this what Vince thinks of his veteran fans? All of you who buy my merch and buy my pay-per-views, that's you.
Yeah. Sure, remember Dixie came out a couple of years ago and said, our average fan is basically the 40-year-old virgin who lives in his mom's basement.
She did not.
She fucking said that.
She did. It was on that Congress, the steroid Congress inquiry.
Jesus Christ. It's on record. Like, if that's what you think of your fan, how are you even in business?
Yeah. Our second tag team match of the night. Earthquake and Typhoon are next, but this match is the disaster. Two fucking job teams. The Beverly Brothers, still without their more famous theme, and the Genius, who gives us a poem.
It's not great.
Yeah.
I was so happy when I saw him, and then his poem is about 10 seconds long, and not great.
And they're taking on Luke and Butch, the Bushwhackers, accompanied by Jameson, who can barely do the Bushwhacker bounce. Is he mentally challenged or something? Why can't you do this? It's not like I'm asking you to do a two-step or something.
He is a little mentaler, yeah.
Did you see Luke or Butch, I don't know, licking some kid? If I was his fucking parent, I don't know.
His outfit looked on, like, lovingly. Like,
This match is so flimsy. Heenan empties his joke book trying to get through this match. Holy shit, the amount of will stop is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Heenan tells us that Jameson's parents never got divorced, as neither wanted custody of him.
Will you be serious?
Are those tattoos, or did they just grow on him?
Will you stop? Do they alternate?
Yes.
Nice.
Wait, no, there's... The next two are will you stop?
Oh, idiot.
Around this time, Heenan and Monsoon hosted the weekly show Primetime Wrestling. And eventually, Heenan secured the last half hour of the broadcast for his version of The Tonight Show, called The Bobby Heenan Show. So, guess what cretin was brought in to host with him? Yep. Jameson's crowning moment was having a porn star, Heather Hunter, on the show. The gimmick was that Heenan didn't know she did porn, but lonely freak Jameson did. So, when she started to strip, he needed a pillow for his lap. And the punchline became, he came on the pillow. It's like, oh, don't lift up. Tell me lift up my pillow.
That's so. You made Jesus it sound. Christ. You actually made it sound good. I bet it's terrible.
I bet it's cringe-worthy bad.
Tons of stalling by the Bushwhackers. They just do a couple of moves and work the crowd for the next 5 minutes.
By the way, Monsoon, he says he comes down on the back of his neck right on the, whatever the fancy word
for the neck is. Right on the occipital protuberance.
Oh, well done. Yeah. And it's just, it's fucking grating. It's like, he knows a couple of fancy words more than three syllables.
Yeah.
Just fucking commentate on the match. Like,
he fell on his head. People understand that, in general, that's pretty fucking bad thing to happen. the external occipital protuberance. Shut up.
Ah, come on, that's quite impressive. Gorilla learned to talk. We've officially been transported to a house show with the should I shake the heel's hand spot? Ask the crowd, fucking do nothing. Butch gets knocked down and he works the crowd from the floor. Fuck this match. The foul-mouthed New York crowd chant, sissy, sissy, at the Beverly Brothers.
It is Albany, New York.
It's not the Hammerstein Ballroom. Nice choreography as the Bushwhackers whip each Beverly into the centre, they collide, and get a single jock and nerd spot for the troubles. Stereo double clotheslines and back to working the crowd, slowly killing the energy of the crowd. End this, please.
This was embarrassing. I was like, I'd imagine Vince backstage watching this is pulling his hair out. The fans obviously hate it. The commentators are taking the piss out of it. I can't imagine anyone watching this and having anything, any positive thoughts. There was a bit where Monsoon says that we all know that, like, Jameson is not a fighter, but he'll beat you up with his words or something. But then every time you saw him speaking, he was like, "You hated me. I'm a widow, bitch." Yeah, it was like, Jesus Christ, where's that lighting rig? Like, fuck.
Just looking at you through the TV and I want to stab it. Face like a slapped arse.
I knew the two of yous would hate him, but I just thought he was too bad that I couldn't be arsed hating him. Do you know, it was that ridiculous. It's gone past giving a shit.
Just nothing.
Yeah, whatever. Like.
Blake, that's the Beverly, Blake with the rake on his face. That's how I remember it. Hides under the ring and tries to Pearl Harbor Luke, but the faces outsmart him, Jesus. Blake U-turns out of the ring, only to be greeted by a, "Pardon me, sir," and an eye poke by Butch. The Beverlys finally take control with a double team Hangman axe handle, and again with a leapfrog splash. Genius heads to Jameson and slaps him good, and then Nerdlinger incredulously said, "He hated me." Paul fucking hit you. Like, I'm not a bully and I want a bully.
"He hated me." That's the line that I flipped out at home.
"He hated me!
Just giving him an education.
I've written here, "I want this Jameson bloke to die, ... slowly, ... cunt." I hated him so much.
We see Jameson is disheveled, as his glasses are held together by masking tape and a large pin.
What would a pin do? You know, there's a big hole in the middle of a pin. If you just close it over something, you can still just...
Oh, that'll work too. Yeah. "You're helping with my glasses."
The more we talk about it, the more I like him.
Oh, no.
Oh, at one point, Heenan desperately says, "Oh, come on, ring the bell." Yep. Bo nails Butch with a top rope double axe handle and mercifully gets the three. Heels win in an absolute fucking stinker far too long. Kiwi cunts get their heat back post-match, disposing of the Beverlys and inviting Jameson to get revenge on the Genius, a revenge of the nerds. He milks it for all it's worth, and he does that.
And the crowd die. Yeah, do it a couple of times, but he just kept doing it. He probably got a reaction the first time, and maybe the second. Oh, I can keep getting reactions.
And finally kicks him in the shin and lightly taps Genius on the bottom, who bumps to the outside. Fuck right off. The end.
This match... I'm so angry that after watching it, I'd even tell the Genius to fuck off. just for being involved in this match.
I would just... lots of capital letters shouting at the TV.
And it was really long.
Oh, it was so bad.
What was it, 15 minutes?
14 minutes, 56 seconds. Painful. Oh. Painful match. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck this match. Fuck everyone in it.
I think you're being too harsh on the Beverly Brothers and the Genius. You can't blame them for being in this match. They weren't the ones that made the match shit. And I'm not going to say it was the worst match we've seen because I actually didn't really watch it. I was kind of doing other things. I couldn't watch it.
That'd be rare enough that you'd actually have to get up and start doing the dishes instead.
I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was doing.
That left your body.
Astral projection anywhere but in front of the telly. I think that's a pretty damning statement about what you actually thought of the match.
Oh yeah.
That you had to get up.
Oh yeah. But it might have been a 5-star classic and I wouldn't know.
-5 stars.
"Dear Steve, can I have 2 stars? Give me 2 stars, Steve.
I hate you. Is this his last ever appearance, please?
The shining light. This is the end of Jameson's WWF pay-per-view career.
One and done. He is the anti-Hercules.
However, Vince would revisit the idea of huge marks again in 93 with Charlie Min, a mark reporter, and George and Adam, huge mark fans. You can see them at the 97 Slammies, pissing themselves when Taker shows up. So Vince isn't done making fun of his meal ticket, the fans.
Stupid man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all I do is call them cunts. Lovely. In front of the Royal Rumble backdrop, Mean Gene is with the Road Warriors, who will be facing the Natural Disasters next in our third tag match of the night. Animal disputes being called closet champions, and Hawk says when he's done with them, their tongues will be hanging out like dead deer's. Lovely.
He does say, which I quite liked, They want to throw their weight around. Well, that's okay. We want to throw your weight around too. It's quite nice.
Mm. These two teams, the Road Warriors and the Natural Disasters, last and butted heads in the main event of Survivor Series, a six-man tag. Heenan mocks LOD because the Disasters outweigh them by maybe 300 pounds. And so LOD can't toss them around. Shut up. The commentators present this match as four hosses colliding. Monsoon reiterates the champion's advantage, saying the belts only change hands by pinfall or submission. Might need that later.
The two teams, both very similar in appearance. They have, you know, the same attire on, but it's kind of the alternate attire, like the singlets for the Natural Disasters, black and red, red and black.
Mm.
And then, obviously, LOD, do you know, they kind of fit into each other. Do you know, like...
The haircuts
fit into each other. It's like when you used to have the beards that fit into each other.
The little schmiggly Triple H.
Do I have the Sheamus, is it?
Yeah. Remember you had like, the kissy kissies all day, Jim?
Slander! I'm going to sue this podcast.
Earthquake did a standing dropkick. It was amazing. Okay, he missed, but the fact that he can physically do it, that was pretty impressive.
Monsoon shits on it as well.
Does he?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have hit Sky Lolo with that one.
What? Nice jumping foot stomp by Earthquake, followed by stepping over Hawk twice. The faces work to knocking the Disasters down. They start schmozzing on the outside, and I went, for fuck's sake, immediately, come on.
And it's like a perfect clip to show the difference in both teams. Legion of Doom are quite cuntish in how they rough people up, and there's a bit where Earthquake picks up Animal and goes to hit a body slam on the outside. And he's just the perfect gentleman. It's like safest, easiest bump you'll ever see. I was like, I don't think Animal would ever have done that to someone else. Like,
Typhoon makes it back in before the 10 and so wins the match by countout. The heels celebrate with the belts, but LOD send them scarpering, and Fink announces that they've retained since it's a DQ at 9:23. Boo.
Yeah, it was really slow, and LOD are much better in the 3-4 minute squashes. Really disappointed.
Yeah, so nothing really gained here, but it was nice to see the Disasters not fed to LOD. They were booked to look almost on a par with the tag champions. The real problem is that LOD are a power team, and they didn't really try to change their offense to take on a bigger power team. Just a couple of shoulder tackles, clotheslines, that's no different from what they usually do. Despite LOD being really over, I thought it was a really poor effort. Yeah,
I thought it was more poor booking than a poor match, though, you know? Do they have a rematch of Mania?
Yes.
Because if it does, then I've got no problem with this. But if the match doesn't happen on Mania, then, you know, fuck you, D-Lo.
Just looking at this match, geez. Demolition gone, Rougeau's gone, Heart Foundation gone, Rocker's gone. Spoiler. And the Orient Express 2.0 looking like shit. Serious downturn for the tag division in 1992. The losers cut a terrible, typical, shouty, big man promo.
What happened? How come they were taken away?
Well, you know, it must be a pinfall.
Typhoon says millions of people saw what happened. Millions of potential. Blah, 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 Tony, blah, blah, belts.
I mean, they're idiots. Because they're saying they're going to call their lawyers because they should have won the titles. Did they not know the rules? I mean, these aren't new.
They're very clear. Come on, lads.
You know this. Piper is backstage with Mean Gene as he spouts some old shite. He's jubilant to be one for one with title opportunities tonight. In the heel locker room, Barbarian gruffly walks past Sean Mooney. But Sean
Mooney did a great job at being walked past, though, didn't he?
He stole it so well. Just the anger at having been walked past.
Look at him there, standing perfectly vertical. And Sean offers a few words. His best promo to date. In the meantime, since this Tuesday in Texas, we're doing the breakup angle with the Rockers. Beefcake had the Rockers on the barbershop interview set, and Marty kind of put an ultimatum to Sean. It's like, come on, let's work it out. And Sean said, yeah, okay, we're back together. And then, swerve, and superkick, a blammo, knocked him down, picked up Marty. Boy, true and true, the barbershop window. Not the t-shirt, the actual pain. Yeah, holy shit, that was a massive angle.
Amazing.
Bladed straight off, looked pretty serious angle. This is like kind of late 96, 97, kind of going towards Attitude Era with a kind of more serious storyline. Like the snake bite storyline is quite serious. Well, it's a bit dark. And this angle with barbershop.
Shit. Yeah, it's definitely not kid friendly, like, you know, what you kind of think back. That was, you know, this era, because it's famous for the cartoon characters and the colourful get-ups and whatnot.
Is there a problem? They're done. They're finished, Monsoons.
Yeah, there's a problem with you, Sean.
Rockers are history.
Marty. Your boy.
I know. He'll be back.
You know, I don't know what the big deal is. Think about it, Jannetty. I saved you 29 other beatings. I mean, sure, you know, not as bad as the one I gave you, but 29 beatings nonetheless. And, you know, is there any doubt in my mind that I'm going to be walking home with the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship? I don't think so. Now everybody is going to find out what Shawn Michaels has known all along, that he is without a doubt the hottest thing the World Wrestling Federation has ever, ever laid eyes on.
Michaels, actually, in his heel HBK gear, first time ever, says he saved Marty 29 other beatings.
Bam! That is a money line right there. That was a great line.
And he's going to walk home with the WWF title. You walk home? No, not the car, no. Obvious editing from both Coliseum and Anthology versions being done, as Monsoon throws to the arena where Monsoon throws to Al Hayes and Ric Flair.
So hold on, run that by me again.
Sean Mooney throws to the arena with Monsoon, who throws to Al Hayes in the back. Because it's like, okay, back to you, Monsoon, at ringside. And he's like, all right, let's see what else is on the back. So,
fine.
You know, there's an extra step that you don't need. That WWE, generally a very slick presentation, this just felt weird, you know. Yeah. Ric Flair, he calmly admits he's number three, but he'll go Iron Man and win it. Thought it was a pretty cool promo.
Very different for Flair.
I thought it was like a face promo almost, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. He was like, I'm going to take this on the chin and I'll just fucking do it.
So now, back to the ringside.
And now back to me, Gene Okerlund.
The winner of the Royal Rumble.
Al Hayes throws to Monsoon, who throws back to Gene, who throws to a conveyor belt of pre-recorded promos. There was a previous episode of The Rumble where you said, how about we take OC's Royal Rumble challenge for promos?
Yeah. You are not allowed to cut a promo about the Rumble saying the words 29 over the top rope. That was it, really. That was the early kind of
They were the main ones.
Cool. So I've taken account of who said 29 and champion.
Oh, great.
All right. So Macho, 29. Snake, champion. Sid, champion. Are you heel? Repo Man, 29, champion. Bulldog, Battle Royal, 19. 29, champion.
Ah, nice. I like what he did there. Switching it up a bit. He says, him winning the world title would truly be a Royal Rumble. What's that mean?
England, the Queen, I'm a Queen.
The Queen.
Royal Albert Hall. Battle Royal. Battle Royal.
Battle Royal.
Wait, what? Snake Man, champion, 29. Savage. Flair and Perfect, champion, 30, 29. I thought this was a fucking great promo. He says since he's called himself the real world champion, he can't backdoor himself. He can't lose this match. I thought Aldo faced like, it's a very respect commanding thing to say. Yeah, how about that? It was like, holy shit, you're a man. I'm a man. Bearer, 29. Champion.
Nice.
However, he does talk about Tim and Taker have spent the last few weeks getting 29 hearses ready. That's pretty cool.
What are they going to do with these 29 hearses? Were they
probably not them? Much, considering getting thrown over the top rope is not really.
It's probably not going to kill you.
Dangerous moves.
Why does every wrestler in the Rumble think they're going to be number one? They're going to throw over 29 other men. What if you're number 30?
And you only have to throw like 3 men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be so pessimistic.
Hulk Hogan, 29. Champion. Champion. Cheap shotted by so-called friends. Champion. Rumble all over you.
Churchill the dog. Rumble.
And what you gonna do when Hulk Hogan and his little Hulksters rumble all over you?
All right, there is one match left and it's the main event, but fuck off. It's time for the ad break questionarium.
Hey OSWs, this is Guru Larry, and it's time for the ad break questionarium. This week's Cortex Crushing Conundrum: which wrestler owes Mr. OOC a tenner? Answer after the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
When you select vitamins, do you choose the only one with all natural colors, flavors, and sweeteners? Beta-carotene, Hulk Hogan Vitamins, the new champion of children's chewables.
Time's up! Did you figure it out? The question is, which wrestler owes Mr. OOC a tenner? If you answered Virgil, you're wrong. The correct answer is Crocodile Dundalk. Virgil's debt can never be repaid. See you next time on the Ad Break Questionarium, and thanks for playing.
Groovy!
And it's time for our main event, the Royal Rumble match for the World Wrestling Federation Championship. Holy shit, awesome balls. Fink runs down the rules and announces... No, he doesn't. He introduces On The Take Tunney, who enters to a chorus of boos. Even I was booing. Belt in hand, he reiterates that this match is for the title. Wait, what? Let's go back a step and explain it. This Tuesday in Texas finished with Hogan throwing ashes in Taker's face and schoolboying him for the 3 and the win. Tunney announced the following week on Superstars that although the ref's decision stands, he's making the WWF title vacant and will award it to the winner of the forthcoming Royal Rumble match. How about that?
I don't see... I mean, if a heel did that, they wouldn't hold the belt up.
His promo was not that clear, by the way. Like, he didn't say it like that. It was shit. He's so bad.
Jack Tunney, I'm coming for you, Nogger. However, much like WrestleMania 4, the hard luck wrestlers, oh, Hogan and Taker, they get preferential seating, so they'll only pick numbers 20 to 30. What do you think about that?
I think that's fair. Well, you know, this is the benefit of having a moan. The last show, remember Hogan lost his belt and he just started moaning to Jack Tunney?
Yeah.
It fucking worked.
Mm-hmm.
Great baby face.
Word to the wise, Trent Barretta, have a moan.
Number one, it's Davey Boy Smith. Something tells me he won't be doing an Iron Man.
And bad idea. I mean, Poodlehead. Back in the 80s/90s, why were all wrestlers pretty much required to have long hair?
It's to hide them calling spots.
Oh, well done, Jay. Thank you.
And also because long hair isn't as...
Rockstar.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're Davey Boy Smith and you have a poodle head, you know, he used to have short hair and he never had this problem.
He is a dog, so, you know.
Yeah, it kind of suits.
Yeah.
Oh, so when he's walking to the ring, would he not be on all fours then? Number two is the $1 million champion with Sensational Sherry in a smoking hot boudoir style dress.
Tits.
Yeah, tits. When everyone's gawking at her tits, Heenan smartly quips, "Would you look at them?" They should be on the cover of GQ. That's a smart one. DiBiase schools Bulldog, but incorrectly assumes his weak clothesline is the end of him. He gets eliminated for his idiocy, so DiBiase's out immediately. Oh, fuck.
Shame. I'd like to see these two in a match, actually.
Yeah. But it puts focus on number three. It's Ric Flair. As Heenan is distraught at his number, trying to convince himself Flair might have a chance. Now, you get the amazing WWF production where they do a roadie run starting at the end of the entrance that runs all the way up to Ric Flair, who's at the top of the entrance coming down. It looks fucking awesome. Makes him look like such a superstar. Heenan cites the catchphrase, "It's not fair to Flair," as he would all through the night. Gorilla Monsoon delights in telling Heenan that no wrestler earlier than 5 has won the Rumble. And I was like, stop, let's check that out. He's actually right. In 1988, Duggan was 13. In 89, Studd was 27. In 1990, Hogan was 25. And last year, in 91, Hogan again at 24. So saying it's number 5 is correct, but you can stretch that number to 12.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could have said the winners have all come out of the final 8 entrants. Because in 1988, Duggan, it was only 20 men in the Rumble, so being number 13 isn't that impressive. Davey works over Flair until number 4 arrives. It's Nasty Boy Jerry Sags. The heels double-teaming works until Davey splits the two and eliminates Sags. Number 5 is Haku. Heenan is initially happy for Flair, as he's in Heenan's camp too, until Haku starts on Flair. He delivers a lovely pile driver to Bully.
Bulldog?
Who gasps on the ground. Haku, actually, he replaced the injured Nasty Boy Brian Knobbs because he had a dislocated shoulder.
So does that mean that Sags and Knobbs are going to come out in a row?
Yeah.
Ah.
Smith makes it to his feet and dumps out the Tonga Kid.
Or as Ook would say, Kid Tonga. He's a handsome man.
You got Kid Gorgeous
for
Ook. Oh, sorry. You used to be a boxer just like me?
Yep, they called me Kid Gorgeous. Later on, it was Kid Presentable. Then Kid Gruesome. And finally, Kid Mo.
Very good, very good. Thank you, thank you.
And finally, Kid Tonga. Number 6, it's Shawn Michaels in his lovely new generation white zebra jocks.
And he's not wearing chaps. This is the only way for Shawn to be. This is how I like to remember Sean.
Get them chaps on.
Yeah, so you'd like to see more form-fitting clothes.
That's essentially what it sounds like I'm saying.
His super kicks leave a lot to be desired in 1992.
Yeah.
He does, however, escape 2 elimination attempts. How about that? Where's Marty? Usually the "I'm injured, but I'm out of the Rumble" means as soon as your nemesis comes out, you come out and batter him and eliminate him. But no, I'm just at home growing weed.
Like, in fairness, it was a serious injury. It's only right that they don't bring him in.
Number 7, Arriba. It's El Matador, Tito Santana. Flair low blows the Mexican. Why don't people cheat more in the Royal Rumble match?
Yeah, bring in a chair.
Or a knife.
You know the way when you throw somebody over the rope, they end up hanging on to the apron and then rolling back in under the rope. But like the person who threw them over just kind of turns their back and walks away. Is like, and that's the end of that chapter.
Why are they so blasé about it?
Exactly.
Tito foregoes the donkey punch for the flying forearm on Flair. Number 8 is the Barbarian. He hasn't wrestled tonight. Looks absolutely bollocks. Heenan, who's been on top form playing cheerleader for Flair all night, tells us that this match is an opportunity to become a millionaire in one afternoon.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, the Texas Tornado. It's Kerry Von Erich. The roidy Texan goes straight for Flair.
When Tornado came out, I think half the crowd thought it was the Warrior.
Yeah, he definitely looks like him anyway.
Yeah, the tassels and the roidies.
Yeah, and the hair, obviously, the big perm, is it? Yeah, just stick some face paint on him and call him Warrior 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The penultimate Warrior.
He is the penultimate Warrior.
Number 10 is the nefarious Repo Man, who sneakily enters the ring.
Who acts saucy. Ric Flair was trying to throw Bulldog over the top rope, and it must have been booked for Tito to come over and break up the spot, because you can hear Flair actually calling him out, like, Tito, get the fuck over here!
Clothesline! What a high cross body, but pinfalls do not count! Submissions do not count!
That's at 24 minutes, 30 seconds, if you want the splice.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
24 minutes? You mean 224?
Oh, it must be on CD2. You know, like
of this legitimate 2 DVD set. Number 11, Happy Valentine's Day. It's Greg the Gas Tank. Number 12 reveals Nikolai Volkov, who snagged a payday from the injured Marty Jannetty. Hammer applies the Heartbreaker, Flair's finisher, the figure four, onto Flair. And that gets quite a good pop.
Yeah.
Repo throws out the Big Russian, easy enough. 13 is the Big Boss Man, who runs wild on both heels and faces.
I thought this match was extremely boring up until this point, and I thought this was the turning point for the entire match, really. No spots up until now.
Repo sneakily eliminates Valentine, but the Librarian does unto him. And now the ring clears itself. Finally, Flair gets the better of Davey and back body drops Bulldog out to good heat. And in the exact same fashion, Tornado twirls outside. Tito bends Sean's head over the ropes and both go over the top rope. Number 14 is number 20. 20 pay-per-view paydays. It's Hercules. He's back. Pay me.
Pay him. It's only been 2 months and he's aged about 9 years. Also, shave them sideburns.
Hercules successfully dumps out Barbarian, but Bossman eliminates him. So that's the end. That is it. We are done with Hercules. He's gone. Asking what fans what they want. Some kind of Hercules tribute. I was thinking 20 pay-per-view paydays. We should give him a standing 20 count. Like...
What, do we have to count to 20?
Oh, come on, it'll be quick enough. I can splice his 20 appearances.
Nice, very good, very good. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
That's it. Get out.
You got far too much love.
Stay out.
All right, so it's down to Flair and Bossman in the ring. It's Mr. Wu versus Mr. Shh.
Out of nowhere, the Big Boss Man hits an inside right leg crescent kick, which is like some fucking high level taekwondo or something. Jesus. It was amazing.
Yeah, so unfortunately Bossman's momentum is his undoing as the knob end eliminates himself, catching his neck on the bottom rope as well. So coming up next is the match long storyline of the Rumble. A new guy comes in and they go straight for Flair, but somehow Flair survives.
That's awesome.
This isn't fair to Flair. Of all the things I've seen in the bananas.
Number 15, an ecstatic rowdy Roddy Piper, the new Intercontinental Champion. Huge head of steam as the lads brawl outside. Lads being Piper and Flair. Piper should be the Terminator. He no-sells a hangman or an atomic drop by Flair. First time on WWF pay-per-view, an airplane spin. Did you like that?
Nice. So doesn't that make the guy doing the airplane spin dizzy as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After just like,
you start bouncing off each other.
amount, the crowd are really into it. Interestingly, he's doing double duty, but not anyone else from earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm. Is he the only person?
Yeah, where's Kato and Tanaka? Where's the new foundation? No?
The roster's good enough that, well, I suppose fucking Valentine is in there and...
Taku.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are these guys not doing double duty? Too tired or cowards? As the crowd chants down to zero, Piper renders Flair almost unconscious with his sleeper hold. Number 16. Trust me, trust me. Jake initially allows Piper to continue until he drops his guard and turns away. And then he works over Piper. And then the heels quickly turn on each other. So every man for himself.
He gets good heat and then after that he starts to hit Flair and the fans love him for it. So it's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that, Jake. You know, you're number two heel in the company at the minute.
Number 17 is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Do you see Old School Raw last week? He had the match with Jack Swagger. 59 years old and still can't lose clean.
What a great gimmick, though. I'll never lose. Sign me. Yes. Brilliant.
Did you notice how Piper like kind of looks like Duggan's kid brother or something? Kind of wearing the same trunks.
Yes. And,
kid Duggan.
Number 18, Mike Rotunda, IRS. After a double nogger knocker, Flair flops for a second time.
Jinx.
Number 19.
Today you can't speak. Remember jinxing people?
Yeah, if you jinx.
If you said the same thing at the same time, you could jinx them, and they couldn't speak until you said their name. 300.
Oh, okay.
Ah, bollocks, I'm going to go, okay! I'm the host. No, I said your name. You're allowed to speak.
You're allowed to speak, aren't you? He's so angry. He's so angry.
Number 19.
Who is number 19, Steve?
Woo, woo, woo. Murder, murder, murder.
I thought it was Candace Michelle there. Both Piper and Snake are unsuccessful eliminating Flair. He's able to put his foot down and stop momentum at the ropes. It's very impressive. Never seen it before.
That wouldn't work. At all.
If you grabbed me and we run towards the window there and I put my foot straight down, like forward, I reckon I could stop. Or at least hurt my knee a lot.
Well, it's like, get up!
This is real. This reality is hinging on
the type of thing in real life, yeah, absolutely. But in kayfabe, God no.
We should try that after, actually.
Number 20. Bong. It's The Undertaker who choke chops Snuka out immediately. Huzzah! He's very unlucky as he could only draw between a numbers 20 and 30, and he's number 20. Mm. Choke spot to... Actually, hold on, let me...
He's next.
Hold on. 9 fucking choke spots by The Undertaker in this match.
That's like 33 1/3% more than the last time.
Because I've written down, anytime he did a choke spot, I put in big capital letters. Choke spot to Flair. Choke spot to IRS. Choke spot to both Piper and Flair. Number 21 is the Macho Man who belts it to the ring. Jake immediately flees the ring, very smart, returning when Savage is taken a few digs. Of course, this is playing off their massive angle where Jake slapped Liz at this Tuesday in Texas. Heenan said, if Elizabeth was home folding the clothes, she wouldn't have got one in the chops.
What's happened since Tuesday in Texas? Anything?
It's just been ducking them.
Yeah?
The only time where something happens between pay-per-views is if they have a Saturday night's main event, and there's none between this Tuesday in Texas and Rumble. However, there is one between Rumble and Mania. Steve, what bar is he?
Well, this show, Macho Man is wearing a wonderful gold and purple kind of a lovely setup. So I have two bars. He is either a picnic bar, or he is the gold wrapper version of a Dairy Milk. Ooh. So take your pick. Because, you know, God.
That doesn't stop Macho as he gets his hands on Snake, unloading on him a flurry, eliminating him with a high knee to the kidney. I worked on Virgil last month, so yeah.
Yeah, why not?
In one of Steve's favourite spots, Macho eliminates himself by jumping over the top rope to get to Roberts.
So he eliminates himself, so we're happy with that, right?
Is there any fury on that, Steve?
Not yet.
Yeah. It's fine, if you want to eliminate yourself, go for it.
I have no problem. If a person is stupid enough to go over the top rope, you deserve to be kicked out. Yeah. Having the cane loads of times, so...
Yep, 98 Rumble.
Mm.
Undertaker goes underneath the bottom rope to get to Savage. Both the dead man...
even for a dead man, he's smart enough to know that, you know?
Both the dead man and the snake beat up Macho and wait... Fucking hold on a minute. Macho is allowed to re-enter the ring. And Monsoon plays it off that you must be propelled by someone else. Get the fucking ring back.
Look, this fucked up my entire sheet. I had had them scribble out 16 and renumber them all. You cunt.
Bossman eliminated himself.
Yeah. Bossman wasn't home. Oh, yeah, but Ric Flair ducked out of the way, so shut up.
In reality, this was a legitimate fuck up by Macho, who was on autopilot because he generally always exits the ring that way. And Taker and Monsoon covered for him.
Very good. Okay.
Fucking moron. Him and Dean Malenko. Yeah. Chokes back to Duggan. Taker no sells a Flair low blow.
Oh man, Flair, you can't low blow Taker. How can he possibly sell it? If he sells it, he looks weak.
Yeah.
If he doesn't sell it, he looks like some kind of fucking G.I. Joe doll or something.
Yeah, he's a woman with lady parts.
Exactly.
When you kick them in the crotch, nothing happens.
Yeah, exactly. So he couldn't go down like a sack of spuds and, oh my groin, you know? So I think he does the right thing. He kind of half sells it. He kind of stumbles a bit.
Yeah, you know, like in kayfabe terms, he wouldn't be hurt by the low blow, but he might be off balance because you know there's still an impact. Like you know, kayfabe.
I think you do all right.
Kayfabe.
What's the deal with Flair's low blows? He's just kind of cupping his lower back. And, you know, it's all the way in. It looks great.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it looks so much better. If a person just kind of punches their dick, they've actually got to miss them, you know, and you'll see it. But if you do the kind of bicep thing, then it looks like you're literally going up, lifting them up. Yeah.
Number 22. Hoss. It's the Berserker.
It's the favourite. He throws people over the top rope. That's his gimmick.
Steve, do you know the Berserker song from Clerks?
I know the chorus.
Learn these two lines because I want to do them.
Yeah, okay.
Steve, do you know, you know these two lines?
Oh, the second verse, if you will.
Yeah. My love for you is ticking clocks. Choke spot to Flair by Taker. That's 10. Choke spot to Roddy. That might be 11. Number 23, the $10 man. It's
This is pre $10.
Greeted by a choke spot. Will you stop? Choke spot to Flair. The commentators marvel at Flair's tenacity, 5 minutes away from Martel's record, which is 52 minutes 34 seconds. Number 24, the Bushwhacker bouncing to the ring. It's the Iron Sheik. Monsoon makes the joke that another guy will be out by the time he gets to the ring. Heenan made that same joke at WrestleMania X7, the gimmick battle royal. Number 25, it's Rick Martel in hot pink. So Martel is the current record holder for the longest time spent in the Rumble with 52-17.
I quite like that they're putting Martel over on his...
Like Iron Man, Rumble kind of thing, yeah.
It's like this is the fifth iteration of the Royal Rumble, so now you actually have some stats to look back on.
Mm.
Fucking Heenan starts listing out wrestlers who will be coming up next.
How about Hogan? He still has a chance of being five-time World Wrestling Federation champion. We're going to get another entry as the curtain is parted. We hear the buzzer. It's the... Oh, my God, no!
shut up, please.
Yeah.
This actually might be the only negative thing I have to say about Bobby Heenan on this show. I thought he was phenomenal all night, but this was just infuriating. Mm-hmm. I wished it was Monsoon so I could give out to him.
Martel tries in vain to eliminate Flair and keep his record as Taker choke spots to Macho. Number 26 is the Hulkster, who gets a big pop. He goes straight to Flair and Taker. Hogan, with a running start, clotheslines out The Undertaker and back body drops Berserker and tears his t-shirt off. Pretty cool looking, actually.
The crowd go mental at this point. It's kind of sounds piped in almost, or do you think it was legit?
I couldn't say for the entrance, but I can definitely say for later in the show. With a poor splash and an equally poor catch, Virgil and Hacksaw are history. Number 27, Skinner. Jeez, the sound of silence. I'm sure it's from a choke spot, but IRS is wearing Hogan's shirt as a necklace. It's odd. Skin Man gets a little offense on Hogan, and that's the damn highlight of his career.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Number 28 is Sergeant Slaughter, and he saunters down to the ring. The Alligator Man is dumped out by the model. Monsoon notes Flair's been in for about 55 minutes and is now the record holder.
Hogan is hitting Flair with like a axe handle smash to the back, and he really fucking lays it in, and you can hear Flair, you know, kind of, you know, like lose his breath, like, and be like, Jesus Christ.
Like. You get a bit of a lull of silence from the crowd, but the commentators and the crowd pick up for number 29. It's Sid Justice in baby blue.
Yeah.
My fuck, he is a big dude, isn't he?
Mm.
He just, holy shit, he's a hoss.
He's what a wrestler should look like. Apart from the poodle.
Sid, wow, he does a Rocket-esque wrist hold and nip-up spot.
I thought Sid looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Monsoon, telling me the Warlord is number 30 2 seconds before he comes
out. Didn't he do this last year with Million Dollar Man? He fucking spoiled who was out last.
Look how smart I am. I'm giving out spoilers. I'm so fucking smart. Cunt. Knuckle scraping on the floor. Wonder how you managed to mug all ladies. Slaughter's whip into the ring post and flops outside at speed. That was actually quite impressive.
That is forward flop.
No, this is Slaughter.
Oh,
sorry. Being whipped. Woo. All right, everyone out of the pool. It's the final spot. It's like someone rang a bell. All right, everyone out. Piper does the sensible thing and drags IRS over the top rope via his tie. Good.
Shouldn't he be sacked for doing that? Wasn't Daniel Bryan sacked for that spot?
Mm. Hogan and Sid double-team the Warlord and dump him out quite easily.
By the way, just the final six I thought was really well done. You had Martel, you know, the previous record holder. Piper, chance of him winning two titles in the same night. Sid and Hogan, and then obviously Macho Top, and then Flair. So, yeah, well done.
Sid takes full advantage of Piper and Martel at the ropes as he pushes both of them out. So we're down to the final four. Sid, Macho, Flair, and the Hulkster. Sid tries to eliminate Macho, but a high knee from Flair makes good on that. With his back to Justice, Hogan gets blindsided and Sid chucks him out and gets a massive pop for it. Hogan is in absolute shock, blaming Sid for stealing his belt. Then Cunt Hogan grabs Sid's hand and tries to pull him out. And Flair takes full advantage, tossing Sid out with Hogan's help. How are you a face?
Yeah.
What a shitebag. He did this to all his mates.
Yeah.
Savage, Tugboat.
Warrior.
That's fucking three. That's
taste of your own medicine, mate.
Oh, the cheek of you.
Yeah.
You have some neck hold.
It's Flair from behind. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Flair did it. Yes, 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 yes. He did it.
So Ric Flair, He becomes the Royal Rumble winner and the new WWF champion as Heenan marks out. He wets himself. It's an absolute joy to hear. He's just going crazy. In true whining bitch fashion, Sourpuss Hogan chases Flair off as himself and Sid are left in the ring and go handbags with each other. Flair's moment is quickly taken away from him as the heat is put on Hogan and Sid. The ring fills up with WWF officials as Gorilla name checks everyone except Wurzel.
Oh, really?
Except Wurzel. It's like, oh, there's Tony Garcia and here's Pat Patterson. Where's the love for Wurzel?
He's more important than all of them. Wurzel. It's all right. We'll give you your props.
Wurzel.
Even being contained by officials, Hogan starts hot-dogging, but the crowd are having none of it. By the way, cunt Bob, you throw Face Savage out in 89 and Face Warrior out in 90, and your mate Tugboat, not a bother. But now it's happened to you, it's fucking...
And didn't he do this exact same thing in, like, World War III? Joe Bose. No, in the pay-per-view, you know, the three-ring rumble. Yeah. Doesn't, like, Savage screw Hogan up? Or, like, he starts going, and he pulls out Savage or something?
And he's like, come on, crowd, come on, for me, give me my belt, come on. Come on. I'm not leaving till you do. It comes off so badly.
Yeah.
Who cheer for you?
Yeah.
If you're going to get the crowd to cheer for you, there are two ways. Either you're gracious in defeat, or... I suppose winning clean, but like a bitching won't.
Well,
bitching
it might won't get him over. Another title shot. You know, if he goes to Jack, Tony, and just.
It's too late in the show. You gotta complain halfway through the show. Both Anthology and Coliseum versions have the original audio where Hogan being eliminated by Sid Justice gets a massive pop and there's boos when he tries to eliminate Sid. But if you watch TV the week afterwards, instead of going, yeah, because you can see the crowd going, fuck Hogan, yeah, it's a boo. Boo.
It's like, boo.
Are you saying boo?
That's Jameson again.
And looking from behind. Oh, Justice got rid of Hulk. Uh-oh. I don't like the looks of things now.
This is one of my sharp memories from when I was a kid, just watching it live and booing Hogan and then recap on TV, it's yay Hogan. Yeah. It was a giant fuck you. It's like, we'll tell you who you'll like and if you disagree, we'll just change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't have a voice, so it's like, WWF lost a lot of respect.
Mm.
Sid leaves and cunt Hogan is left in the ring with his spotlight.
Did you hear Sid on the way out doing his, you know, Matt Hardy, you know? I'll kill you. Well, in a much, that's one accent I can't do, actually. The only accent I can't do.
Rumour had it that Flair only found out the night before, / the day of the Rumble, that he was winning. It was the urban legend. Not true at all. Flair knew from at least early January that he was winning the Rumble and had to have done because, well, that's when everyone found out about the revised Mania plans. So, cut back. Oh, sorry, do you have anything on the match there?
No. Well, it was awesome.
Right now, we understand we've got it going on. That's going to be Gene.
I'll kill you.
Cut backstage where smiling jackass Jack Tunney congratulates and presents Flair with the WWF Championship. Did you see him mugging with the belt? He's like... How did Heenan get to the back so quickly? Yoga teleport.
Yoga.
At this time, to present the title belt to the new champion... our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt to proclaim me the real world champion, I'm going to tell you all, with a tear in my eye. This is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, the brain.
Woo! Let's give a big one! Woo! I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
hey,
and
Bobby,
you can call now, the real world's heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we... told you so.
Hey, okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world... Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogans and the Macho Mans and the Pipers and the Sids. Now it's Ric Flair. And you all pay homage to the man. Woo! I love it!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. We hope you have enjoyed your Royal Rumble. For my broadcast colleagues, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Sean Mooney, Mean Gene Okerlund, saying so long from the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York.
Flair puts over the championship and cuts one of his most famous promos ever, Splicey Splice.
It was great. Big babyface promo.
Really? Yeah. Right. Putting over WWF.
Yeah.
Now he's the number one because he's got...
And
the...
only now.
Yeah.
Mean Gene tells someone off camera to put that cigarette out.
I bet you it was the Repo Man. Bet you any money.
Why was the Repo Man there?
Smoking there in the corner. Going...
I looked hard and long. to find out who it was.
Or the shape
and the girth. Vince said he hated this promo by Flair, that tonight's performance was one step forward, two steps back. I think he must be fucking blind. This was an amazing promo. He stuck two fingers up to WCW because now I'm the champion.
He puts your company over, he puts your belt over. He puts your stars over, saying that it only matters if I beat your wrestlers. Unless he wanted him to be a heel and be hated, like.
Well, cowardly heel promo or you're the fucking man. Respect heel promo. He was amazing. But considering Vince's judgment post-WrestleMania 6, he might be blind. How big was WWF in 1990? And then as soon as Warrior got the belt and Hogan's like, oh, I'm going to Hollywood and I'll make Suburban Commando. And he's like, oh, please, come back. What the fuck, man? You don't need Hogan. You could have done it with your guys that you built, the empire that you built. Gene signs off. It gets cut off on the anthology version as they play a Nitro Steel montage of the pay-per-view to CSA.
The return of the sex jazz music, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Different sex jazz music. Yeah. It wasn't the same. Yeah. It was slightly more jazzy, slightly less sexy.
It's the corporate jazz. And that closes the show. Right, let's head to the aftermath. So guys, what do you think of the show?
Well, I mean, the show was all about the Rumble match itself, and it was really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Kind of started off a bit slow, but you'd expect that for most Rumbles, but towards the end it really picked up. Star power was fucking amazing, and Flair was just bloody great. As for the rest of the matches, nothing really there. I quite liked Mountie and Piper. Well, it was short. The other couple of matches were a bit shit, but overall, because of the Rumble, yep, happy.
I thought the opener was okay, but I thought Owen looked great. And that's a good sign for what's to come from him. I thought Bobby Heenan was incredible all night on commentary. There was some great booking during the show, like Bret Hart losing the belt, you know, because he wrestled against a doctor's order. Can Piper win both belts? Just, you know, Jake and Macho moving on. And the Rumble is brilliant. It's the first time I've ever seen it, and I fucking loved it. I thought Flair was a god in this match. Best Rumble probably ever. I'd struggle to think of one with a better story than that. Maybe the Benoit Rumble. That was amazing as well. But
oh, the Stevie Richards Rumble.
Stevie Richards Rumble?
The Hardcore Holly Rumble.
I hated the Bushwhackers match. Jameson. I don't have anything else to say. And the count out in the tag team match was a bit shit, but we'll see where it leads to. Overall, it's the good far away the bad. I watched this in a single watch, so yeah, whopper show.
For me, the opener was a showcase tryout for Owen. It went on a little too long, but was a solid in-ring affair, and yeah, awesome. Owen looked great. Definitely keep him aboard. Piper trounced the Mountie and took his belt, which popped the crowd, which was cool to see, but I was very unhappy about how Brett lost the title. That's kind of shitty booking for the IC belt, but it was a cool moment to see Piper get a belt. Luke, Butch and Jameson can fuck right off. Disgrace of a match. Battle of the No Cells was decent, but nothing has progressed in the tag title affair, so it was meh. And the Rumble match was all about Flair. It was amazing, but I have to say there were no real spots in the Rumble, just like last year, actually. All you had were the two everyone out of the pool spots where they clear the ring and the closing eliminations, but the roster depth is so strong that the hour flew by. And for better or for worse, the entire focus is on Flair, seeing him persevere throughout the hour, and that was amazing. This, like, the best booking of a guy in a Rumble in history, and hasn't been equaled, you know, not next 20 years yet. Fantastic performance. He carried the show on his back. I would have liked a few more talking points during the match itself, though, you know. Another thing, too many fucking substitutions. No Brett, no Marty. I can live without Knobs, though.
Yeah. I could definitely live without Knobs.
Holy shit, though. Heenan on absolute top form. Easily his most memorable call in his career. A well-deserved achievement. Fantastic. I suppose that or whose side is he on? His lowest point.
Surprise, that came in the other company.
Sid eliminated the most tonight with 6, but Iron Man Flair wins it, lasting 59 minutes 26 seconds. And tonight's wooden spoon goes to Mr. Payday himself, Hercules, lasting 56 seconds.
That's a fitting end.
Yeah, so he did the bare minimum work. He probably lives in Albany, so it's like, who drove the least to get here tonight?
Tom the lift over.
Snooker's driving. No, it's okay. Can drive on, mate. All right, let us hit. Ooh, the wrestling is.
Awesome!
Segment.
I don't think you ever put that in, do you?
What?
Steve saying,
all the time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just cut the show off.
Awesome!
This letter came for you.
Read this to me.
Hey, it's a letter from JR.
Yeah? Someday we're gonna meet up on the outside. We're gonna do some serious damage.
Good news. I'm getting out.
What? He's getting paroled? They gotta be out of their minds.
You know that guy?
He's crazier than I am.
Chill! The warden!
Well, well, if it isn't our model prisoner looking so pretty today in his little bow tie.
Hey, what? Yeah!
Oh, by the way, I love that segment.
Oh, yeah. Who did you like best out of it?
I'm going to say Hogan.
Oh, you won't get... It's Texas Tornado. He was in a film in jail, and he's mates with the kind of crazy clock guy.
Terrible casting. He clearly made to be a pirate. Ooh, peg leg.
It's that time again where we say goodbye. Rumble 92 is in the books. Good stuff, that.
Yeah, good.
Our next stop is WrestleMania 8 at the Hoosier Dome. Flair versus Hogan, Macho versus Roberts, Shawn versus Marty, Mountie's IC title rematch, LOD versus the Disasters.
Wait, none of those happened?
Well, let's see what else Vince has booked in episode 28. Now, remember, you can catch all of our episodes, free of charge, in an IMAX flavored 43 full screen at oswreview.com. And while you're there, leave us a nice message, you lovely cunts. So, it's a goodbye from Mr. Osi.
Good.
V1.
We're after.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember,
a winner is you. Jinx.
You're not allowed to laugh. Oh shit, bye.
Yeah, what are we gonna do now?
That was brilliant for you.
I've been planning after about 20 minutes. Wee doggy!